Good Thursday morning, everyone. My name is Will Harris, and I worship with the Christians at Oakland Church of Christ here in Athens. This week we are looking at people in the Bible who sinned and how their consequences of that sin impacted their lives and the lives of those around them. We've been saying it all week, but one of the great lies that Satan uses is that our sin will not have consequences, or at least it will only affect us and no one else. We've seen this week, as we've read and studied, that both of these are false. Yesterday we looked at Saul, the first king of Israel, and the tragic consequence of his sin. His sin caused his own downfall as king, the ruin of his entire household, and caused him to be less effective of a leader than he could have been. It affected his loved ones, and as a leader, it affected the entire kingdom of Israel. Today we're going to look at his successor, David, to see how he handled sin in his life. David was called a man after God's own heart, but he was still a man, and sinned and fell short like all of us. We won't take the time to read it this morning, but I think most of us are familiar with David's sin with Bathsheba, which started with lust, led to fornication, and ended with murder. What I want us to focus on this morning is David's attitude about his sin, especially compared to that of Saul that we discussed yesterday. This morning, let's read some from Psalm 51. This was written by David after Nathan came and confronted him about what he had done. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words, and blameless in your judgment. I'm going to jump down a few verses to verse 14 and pick up there. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Notice first of all the contrite and penitent spirit that David had. Once Nathan confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba, you don't see any of the excuses or hemming that Saul did with Samuel. In fact, I think it's safe to say that there was a part of David that was relieved when his sin was finally out and being confronted. As you read through some of the Psalms, it seems that he was miserable trying to hide his sin. Also, he immediately repents. The psalm we read from a minute ago is David's plea to be right before God and be forgiven. It was vitally important to David that he be right in the sight of God, something that Saul never seemed to be concerned with. Also notice particularly verse 16 in Psalm 51. Let's read it again. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Unlike Saul, who seemed to think that God could be appeased from wrath with sacrifices, David understood that it was the heart that God was after, not animal sacrifices. This is essentially what Samuel told Saul when he brought back the Amalekite livestock, quote, for sacrifices. Now, lest we paint too rosy a picture, there were still some terrible consequences that David had to face as a result of his sin. He had tumult in his own house as multiple sons tried to usurp the throne in David's later life. One of his sons murdered another son, and then that son was later killed himself after a failed coup attempt. Even more immediately, though, David and Bathsheba's child died soon after Nathan confronted David. David's desire to be right with God didn't end up being worthwhile, though. David's family remained on the throne throughout the rest of the history of Israel. Even after the kingdom divided, David's family remained over Judah. David is referred to multiple times through the Bible as a man after God's own heart. Also, it is interesting to note that there is no mention of David's sin in the New Testament. Well, we'll wrap up there for today. I hope that you'll be able to join me tomorrow as we finish out our week. Tomorrow, I want to take a slightly different approach to our topic, by looking at how we can address the problem of sin in our own life today. I hope that you'll be able to join me for that. Until then, thanks for tuning in this morning, and I hope y'all have a great day.